We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I want to talk about the president's speech today. So, President Bush gave a speech today, and he billed it as an important speech about the war on terror. Well, he did several things. He gave this speech to the National Endowment for Democracy here in Washington. And he did a couple of things he hasn't done before. He told us about 10 serious Al-Qaeda terrorist plots that have been disrupted in the U.S. Well, I don't know if they were all in the U.S., but disrupted since the September 11th attacks, including several within the U.S. That's what he said. And they've stopped at least 5 other attempts to case targets in the U.S. or to infiltrate operatives into the country. So he didn't give a lot of details, but basically he's trying to show that they are protecting the country, because, of course, in the wake of Katrina and Rita, but particularly Katrina, the competence of his administration has been called into question. And, of course, that's what he ran on, was that he's the guy that can keep you safe. So, in his speech today, he made a number of different points. I have to tell you that, let me just give you a general overview of it. I thought it was a little bit uninspired and listless, his delivery. He was clearly reading it. I mean, all presidents read the majority of their speeches. But it was very perfunctory. He was just reading it. You know, go to the White House website and listen to just a minute or two of it, and you'll hear him. He almost put me to sleep. It was that dry, and he just kind of was reciting it. I just thought it was weird, because he's not usually like that. And he, what else did he claim in this speech? Well, I got a couple things I want to cover, but let me see if... I guess that was the main point before I get to some of the other pieces here. He did say something interesting and new to me. He said at some point, and this isn't an exact quote, but he essentially said, talking about terrorists, then they turned their attention to Iraq. This was after 9/11 and after a few other things. And so he's... Up until now, his administration has been maintaining that there were terrorists in Iraq well before we went in, and that Saddam conspired with Al-Qaeda, and that was why it was so important that we go in and get the WMD before he gave WMD to Al-Qaeda and they used it against us. Well, none of that was ever true. We knew it at the time, those of us paying attention. It became clear from different reports later that it wasn't true. But, in fact, the difficulty in all this is that the Bush administration has been, at least parts of it, have been claiming it ever since. Dick Cheney still believes that version of events, although most people have given it up. And it sounds here like Bush did, too, because when he says, then they turn their attention to Iraq, it suggests that he's moving away from this charge that Iraq was sheltering terrorists before we went in. And I'll get to that. A little piece I got about right-wing talk show hosts later brings up something related to this. The other thing I noticed was that George W. Bush repeated some of Dick Cheney's points. Lately, Cheney has been making the claim. He gave a speech where he basically said the reason we got, just this week, he said the reason we got attacked on 9/11 was that America's response to the previous Al-Qaeda attacks was too weak. So, not just Al-Qaeda, terrorist attacks. So he goes all the way back to the 1983 bombing of the soldiers' barracks in Beirut, where we lost 243 men, I believe, and the fact that response to that was not strong enough. And then he lists a bunch of the other ones in the 90s, from the Kobe Towers to the World Trade Center in 1993, right up to 2000. And he said, that the coal bombing in 2000, I guess I'm thinking of. And he said that, essentially, had we hit them harder, They would have known we meant business and might not have attacked us on September 11th. Well, let me take an aside here and explain what's silly about that. There's no evidence that these people that are willing to die, let's remember the people that attacked us on September 11th killed themselves when they flew those planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. So the idea that had we hit back harder, they would have stopped and said, oh, America's going to hit us back harder. Well, then we better not attack them. I don't think that's the way fanatics react. So he may be right that we should have hit harder. Of course, that's, hindsight is always 20/20. At the time, when Clinton hit back, and it was during the Lewinsky affair, the Republicans, to a person, condemned him as doing it for partisan reasons. And so the idea that in 1998, 99, 2000, Clinton could have gotten support from Congress for hitting back harder, not possible. But maybe Cheney's right that had we hit back harder, some things would have been different. But the main problem, the main argument about Iraq or terrorism in general is not that we aren't hitting back hard enough, but that our reputation in the Muslim world can suffer if we aren't smart about this. So while Cheney's arguing, and then Bush in his speech is arguing, terrorists aren't dissuaded just because we're nice, it isn't about the terrorists. We are trying to win the hearts and minds of the average Muslim who might have terrorists in their city or neighborhood, and we're trying to talk them into not helping the terrorists. So it isn't simply that we think the terrorists wouldn't attack us if we were nicer, you know, if we didn't abuse prisoners. No, we are trying to win the hearts and minds of Muslims. So that's one thing we should keep in mind. The other thing is, well, let me go right to this clip. George W. Bush had an interesting piece. I mean, a lot of this speech I'm fine with, and he had stirring rhetoric, and he talked about how we must fight to the death, and we must go after them, and freedom will prevail. He went on to talk about how many we've captured and killed of Al-Qaeda's upper leadership and all of that stuff. He again repeated that the United States makes no distinction between those who commit acts of terror and those who support and harbor them. So, all good, stirring rhetoric, a lot of it. He did make some mistakes. He continues to insist that the terrorists hate freedom. I guess in this case he said they fear freedom. Here's the quote, quote, by fearing freedom, by distrusting human creativity and punishing change and limiting the contributions of half the population, this ideology undermines the very qualities that makes human progress possible and human society successful. Well, now let's see. Fearing freedom, distrusting human creativity, could that be like stem cell research? Punishing change, could that be like evolution? And limiting the contributions of half the population. Well, that half the population isn't gay, but could that be like gay rights? This ideology undermines the very qualities that make human progress possible and human society successful. I think what he's saying is that fundamentalism is a problem. And he's not drawn distinctions here, as near as I can tell, between their fundamentalism and our fundamentalism. Let's go on and see if this makes any sense. The only thing modern about the militants' vision is the weapons they want to use against us. Well, I wouldn't put that on any of our conservatives. They're willing to stop at AK-47s, I think, under the Second Amendment. They're not looking for Stinger missiles in the home, I don't think. So that sentence applies to the Islamic radicals, the Islamic fundamentalists, not to Christian fundamentalists. But let's go on. So the only thing modern about, let's see, the rest of their grim vision is defined by a warped image of the past, a declaration of war on the idea of progress itself. Well, now that does sound a bit like Christian fundamentalists, because they're still claiming and clinging to ideas that have been superseded by our knowledge of the world And the knowledge has been around 100 years, minimum, for a lot of this stuff. And they're claiming, no, no, the Earth is 10,000 years old. It's interesting that he's taken a swipe at his base like this. I'm shocked. And that people don't realize it. I'll have to get the quote and play it for you next week. I mean, get the actual audio for this. Because I'm just reading the transcript. Okay, I'm going to let that segment go. But I do have one clip from today's speech that I did grab out of the speech. And this is the president talking about the militants and where they get their aid. Let us, and who's at fault, and how we got attacked, and who's responsible. And it turns out that there's no personal responsibility here. We are totally innocent victims. There's nothing we did and nothing we could have done to have altered what happened, which is a powerless position to put yourself in. It's the opposite of personal responsibility. But I'll discuss that after we hear the quote.
They are strengthened by those who aggressively fund the spread of radical, intolerant versions of Islam in unstable parts of the world. The militants are aided as well by elements of the Arab news media that incite hatred and anti-Semitism, that feed conspiracy theories and speak of so-called American war on Islam with seldom a word about American action to protect Muslims in Afghanistan, Bosnia, Somalia, Kosovo, Kuwait, and Iraq.
I'm going to pause it there. Well, all that's true, Mr. President, but you were warned before you went into Iraq that this would be used against us, that putting troops in the Middle East would be used against us, and no matter how benevolent our motivations, they would twist it and say that we were the infidels, and that it was, you know, they don't have a short memory. You know, if you folks remember, right after 9/11, President Bush used the phrase crusade about going after Al-Qaeda. Well, that is such a loaded term for Muslims, because they fought against Christians more than once. And we're going back 1,000 years for this, folks, almost 1,000. So when you talk crusades, you're asking for trouble.